Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Another week, another monster movie, another day Dylan's closer to losing his mind.
Probably.
Yeah.
No, I already lost my mind a long time ago.
Okay, well, that's good to know. It can't jump off
further the cliff. Slipping into insanity.
Can't jump off the cliff if you're already falling, right?
Ooh, got him.
Oh. Yeah, right. All right. So, yeah, this week we are reviewing the 1956 classic Rodan.
No exclamation point.
No exclamation point. Just Rodan.
There should be. Then it's not Rodan. It's
Rodan.
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 Question mark.
We're watching Rodan.
Rodan. Anyway, yeah, Rodan.
Rodan. So some alternate titles that I conjured up from nowhere.
I like the Polish title.
The Japanese original title was Rodan, Monster of the Sky.
Sick.
The Italian title was Rodan, the Winged Monster.
Listen, the Polish one's the best. Okay, ready?
Polish. Rodan, Death Bird.
Death Bird.
Death Bird.
Rodan, Death Bird.
Death Bird.
But yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the making of this movie.
Oh, are we?
The box office.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, and I'm going to read off the... Or we're going to watch a trailer for them. We're not going to watch anything. We're going to listen to the trailer for this movie.
Maybe one day we'll watch this.
Maybe one day. And then we're going
when
to...
Aaron and I and Andrew are all doing this for a living because this podcast is taking off.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on that too much. Then I will read off a cast and crew list. Dylan will read off a nicely prepared little plot summary.
Maybe.
And then we'll talk about some big news. We've got some big news this week. So, yeah, very exciting stuff.
Sick.
So, making of this film... was released on December 26th, 1956.
Oh, it's a Christmas movie.
In Japan, this film is called... He is not Rodan in Japan. He is Radon. R-A-D-O-N.
Like a pteranodon.
And when they brought the movie over to America, they changed it from Radon to Rodan to confuse... just prevent confusion with the actual element of Radon, which is...
Radon,
which is actually a nuclear... Our radioactive element, you know, so kind of funny. But anyway, George Takei, you know, we talked, he was a small part of the voice of the American voice cast for Godzilla Raids Again. He was also a part of the American dub cast for this movie. I don't know what part he played.
Doesn't matter.
First Toho monster film in color.
That's a big important thing.
It's a big deal.
It's important.
Ishiro Honda has said that in some quote or another that this is his favorite film that he worked on for Toho. So
impressive
for such a storied director. And just interesting little fact, during the scene where Rodan flies over the Sakai Bridge, the suspension wires broke while he was suspended about 25 feet in the air. Luckily, the wings and the water underneath him absorbed most of the impact, so
he did not die.
He could keep on acting
for
years and years to come. But no, so this movie, box office-wise, like I said, released December 26th of 1950. So this is a Christmas movie.
That's what I said. It's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas miracle.
I couldn't find what the budget was. It made 140 million yen.
It probably made its money.
Yeah. It was released in the U.S. on August 6th of 1957.
Almost the other day.
All I could find on that was, on its opening weekend in the U.S., it made somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000, which between... considering the number of theaters it was playing at, it was pretty good. So pretty
all
financially
right,
successful.
That's decent.
Movie.
That's decent.
This movie, I think, had a pretty big TV run in America.
Deathbird.
There is a whole like chapter of Stephen King's It novel, like revolving around this movie. So
what book?
It. In the book It, if you haven't read it, the African American character kid.
Can't remember his name right now.
Is it like Ben or something?
It's Ben. It is Ben. If I'm not mistaken, okay. It is Ben.
Anyway, he watches Rodin on the TV.
I think it's Ben.
And it freaks him out. So then Pennywise takes the form of a giant bird and terrorizes him. Pretty neat. But anyway, I guess that's all I had for making up. Not a lot. Not a lot there. It is, I'll talk about that in a second. So I guess we're going to watch the trailer now. We'll come back, read off the cast and crew, and Dylan will read off the plot summary, and we'll discuss this wonderful little gem of a movie. Be back in a minute.
On target. The kill is complete. But what have these tests done to Mother Earth?
Its weight is over 100 tons, and it has a wingspread of perhaps 500 feet.
500. Helicopter number 2 to Big Fence. We have located Rodan.
All right, we're back. Well, kind of. Physically, yes. Mentally, probably not. But cast and crew, this movie is, of course, directed by...
You've probably heard some of these names a couple times.
Maybe.
Never heard
directed by Ishiro Honda.
No.
Written by, here we go, Ken Kuranuma, Takashi Kimura, and Takeo Murata. We've heard a couple of those names before. Music by Akira Fukube. Anybody else do music during this time period in Japan? I don't know.
I can't imagine who the effects would be by.
I don't know. Eiji Tsuburaya, maybe?
Probably. No.
Maybe. And then starring Kenji Sahara, Yumi Shirakawa, Akahiko Hirata, and Haruo Nakajima as Rodan.
Akahiko!
And what is the plot to this movie?
I'm going to read this plot summary. Excuse me, because there will be a page flip during the middle of it. Because
I wasn't smart and I didn't hit the... I could have hit the enter button.
Hit the enter button.
Like a couple times, but, you know, we're going to live
with it. There will be a page flip.
A page flip. I'll edit out the page flip. How about that?
No, leave it in.
Okay.
Plot summary. When mysterious insectoid creatures begin attacking a small mining village on the island of Kyushu, a group of miners and soldiers led by safety engineer Shigeru Kawamura go into the mine to see if they can find the source of the Mega Nulon. After a deadly encounter, Shigeru becomes trapped in the mine by a cave-in. Later, Shigeru is found wandering around the base of Mount Aso, but he is suffering from amnesia and can't remember what he saw in the mine. Meanwhile, a mysterious flying object has begun appearing in the vicinity of the volcano, killing a jet pilot and a married couple. When Shigeru witnesses a bird egg hatching, he recalls the horrible sight he saw while trapped in the mine, the hatching of a giant pteranodon who fed on the Mega Nulon. The ancient creature, now dubbed Rodan, soon flies to Fukuoka, but he is not alone as it is discovered that he has a mate who joins him in leveling the city. The two ancient birds return to Mount Aso, where the military begins a bombardment that results in an eruption. Both Rodans are eventually engulfed in the lava flow, both seemingly burned.
Until next time.
Until next time.
No, so, yeah, this movie is a nice, sweet, short 82 minutes.
It's a movie.
But that being said, though, what I find interesting about this movie is about halfway through, it really becomes a different movie. The first half of this movie is, I'll say, a horror movie type with these miners going into this coal mine. And then we had the scene where, like, the cop and the two coal miners tie themselves together and go into the water. And then they're, like, dragged underwater. And then these...
A bunch of people die. There's a bunch of blood.
There's some blood. I mean, this movie would probably get an R rating if it was released today.
Yeah.
And,
because you know how Hollywood feels about blood.
Yeah, Hollywood does not like blood. And these Meganulon creatures, which are the first stage of the life of a dragonfly, they'll make their return in Godzilla vs. Megaguirus.
Nobody cares.
They are going around killing these people in this town.
Sick.
And it's really, the movie is really focused on this coal mining town. And there's, you know, they've got some, like, human elements where at the beginning of the movie, there's these two characters that are fighting, Goro and some other guy. Well, the guy not named Goro turns up dead, so everybody starts blaming Goro, who's gone missing. But our main character, Shigeru, is dating Goro's sister. And some of the women in the village are, like, bullying Goro's sister because they're blaming him for all the murders in the mine or whatever. I mean,
might as well.
Some interesting human drama. Unfortunately for our main characters, they're kind of forgotten in the second half of this movie. When Rodan shows up after, you know, Shigeru gets trapped in the mine and he loses his memory or whatever. Rodan shows up at around the 37-minute mark. And this movie really takes on a pretty drastic different tone. It becomes your more typical kind of giant monster movie. And we actually don't get a real good look of Rodan until the 46-minute mark during the flashback scene where he sees Rodan hatching in an 82-minute movie. So, but I don't know. What did you think about the shift in tone?
I don't know. I thought the movie was better after Rodan showed up.
You thought it was better after Rodan showed up?
I think it's more entertaining.
I mean, yeah, more happens. I kind of like the way the first half of this movie is set up with that horror movie type of feel. I think it's kind of interesting, but I can see where you might get bored. But what did you think, Andrew? Did you like the first half or the second half? Did you like pre-Rodan better or post-Rodan better?
Post-Rodan better.
Post-Rodan. Post-Rodan. I mean, I think that is the more entertaining half of the movie, but I don't hate the first half.
I don't think the first half is terrible. It's just not as entertaining.
Not as entertaining
as the second half.
Yeah, but
if you are a broad American audience, you want to see giant monsters.
You want to see giant monsters.
The baby giant dragonfly are not cutting it.
Not cutting it? You don't like the Meganulon slicing people up?
No one cares about the Meganulon.
Okay. Well, anyway, so then once Rodan shows up.
Except for people who make this movie because it's like the first 45 minutes.
once Rodan shows up, though, it kicks into gear pretty... pretty quick, he
kind of dropped a Megamulon.
He kills some fire pilots. There's some like
more
a
blood.
Like a, I know there's a pretty like for a movie today, like pretty violent, where there's like blood splattered on his helmet, like you see
on
later.
His clothes.
Kills a married happily new wedded married couple going to take a photo shoot on Mount Aso, and he just eats them up.
Well, that's their fault.
That's their fault.
Shouldn't have been on top of a volcano.
Yeah, right.
And especially an active volcano.
Yeah, because they were talking about just like a few minutes earlier, like how there was like earthquakes and volcanic activity.
Their fault.
And then he attacks Fukuoka in a great city destruction scene, if I may say. And then like out of nowhere, like I do wish they would have kind of like set this up earlier, because like out of nowhere he has a mate that shows up and starts attacking the city with him. It's kind of weird.
And you're like.
You're like, eh, okay.
Whatever.
Weird that.
And then they, I forgot to say, I thought something was funny. One of the things I thought was funny about this movie, earlier back in the first half of the movie, when they finally figure out the bugs, or the Meganulon, are what are killing the people, the military's response time is amazing.
It's like 0.2 seconds.
It's like 0.2. It's like, I don't know, like, even...
They were already there, Aaron.
I mean, I get the feeling, like, watching the movie, they were there within, like, an hour. Because it was like that night they showed up.
Boom.
And it was already dark when the Meganulon like attacked. So, I mean, they showed up real fast.
They were there.
They're ready.
I did really like the scene. Like, we really have no real idea what's killing these people. And then, like, about 20 minutes into what I think I marked it down. 17-minute mark. So when we first see the Meganulon, they just, like, One just like totally strolls up into Shigeru's
it's dumb looking.
And his girlfriend's house. But we'll talk about creature design later.
Talk about creature design here in a little bit.
Later. And I might disagree with you a little bit. But anyway, but getting back. And then, yeah, at the end of the movie, they trap Rodan and his mate in Mount Aso, and they start burying them. But then they accidentally, I don't know if it's accidentally or not, trigger a volcanic eruption. And then the Rodans get burned alive.
You can't see us doing air quotes.
Air quotes. One will magically reappear in the next Godzilla movie.
Which one?
Well, he's referred to as a he, so the male, I would guess. I don't know which one was the male, which one was the female.
Rodan.
There is some continuity kept over, though, a little bit to the Godzilla movie, amazingly. But we'll talk about that when we talk about Ghidorah, three-headed monster. So, yeah, that's the basic plot of this movie. I mean, like I said, it's only 82 minutes, which helps this movie out a lot. The drastic... Drastic. the major change in tone that occurs in the middle of the movie, I mean, it's not a huge hang up for me. Like, if you're like a film critic and you're judging just like your everyday film, like, you don't really want like major changes in tone halfway through a movie, but it doesn't really bother me that much. And then, but overall, I think it's pretty entertaining. I do like the horror movie aspect of the first half. And I think it's executed fairly well, some of the scenes in the mine and stuff. And then I do like, once Rodan shows up, I think it's a pretty exciting movie with Rodan and the fighter planes chasing each other around in the air a lot. And, yes. You know, Fukuoka getting destroyed. And, I mean, you got to kind of look over some scientific kind of, what? With, like, how does Rodan fly out like 1.5 times the speed of sound, even though he's just a giant bird?
He's an ancient bird.
He's a giant pterodon. Well, you know, kind of.
You don't know how fast they would go in.
And like,
it's not important.
Not important. Like, and then like I said, the fact it is a bit of a problem, I think, for me. Like the fact that they could have just had like one dropped line, like, "Ooh, it looks like there are pieces of eggshell from two different eggs here," or something. Just like one drop line to kind of hint that there was more than one Rodan. But the second one just shows up out of nowhere.
And you're like,
if you watch the Americanized version of this movie, which was edited pretty heavily, we didn't watch that version. I think there are some advantages to the American version. For like the sound mixing, I think, in the American version is much better than it is in the Japanese version. And the... they re-edited it so that the mate shows up earlier in the movie. Mm. And so it kind of flows a little bit better in that regard.
I see.
And they, you know, they've edited it down a little bit. But the thing I hate about the American version, a lot like Godzilla Raids Again, is there's this constant narration from the main character that is just terrible. It really gets on my nerves. But, yeah, so we are reviewing the Japanese cut if you didn't get that already.
Always.
Always. Always and forever. Always.
Will we review any American versions of these movies?
I don't know. We'll see.
Nope.
There's a couple down the line that I'm considering maybe watching the American cuts.
We have to watch the American cut of 1998 Godzilla.
That's
because there's the only version of it.
That's the only cut I know about. But yeah, we'll watch
Joke's
it.
Jokes on you. There's another one.
There's another one. All right, but
where's the Roland Emmerich director's cut?
I don't think he cared enough about that movie to make a director's cut. Anything else y'all want to add to the about the plot here?
Nah, I mean the first half of it is decent. I mean, it sets up decent characters that get dropped, like you said, about halfway through.
Yeah, they get dropped,
but it's whatever. And just the second hanging half out is definitely the more entertaining half of the movie, in my opinion. When Rodan,
it didn't really bother me when the second one showed up.
When the second Rodan showed up,
it didn't really bother me.
I mean, it didn't, like,
I mean, I'm not like, oh my god, that's so stupid.
I was like, oh my god, like, you're too, like, I just, like, from a filmmaking perspective, you would, usually want to...
As an audience, you're like, yeah. Wait,
like, Chekhov's gun, you know, like, you want to, if you're gonna bring something into the last act, you usually want to set it up somewhere in the first act.
What did you say?
Chekhov's gun, you know, that's the theory, like... If you have a gun in the first act, it has to go off in the third act. If you have a Rodan in the first act, he must fly in the third act. I don't know what metaphor is.
No.
I think they should have, you know, maybe like And I kind of wish they had kind of maybe kept the horror movie vibe going a little bit longer.
That'd been kind of cool.
So they're like, and they try to do it a little bit with the early scenes in Rodan where he's like stalking the married couple and like, or not really stalking, but like attacking them and you can't really see what's going on and all that. But I don't know. It's quite a bit of fun, I think. Do you know, I forgot to mention this earlier when I was doing the cast and crew, the assistant director on this movie is Jun Fukuda, who will go on to direct several Godzilla movies in the future. Just random fun fact.
No idea who that is.
You will. You will. And he's running again. Tackling manager. No, but yeah, I enjoyed the flaw of this movie quite a bit. But let's move on to creature design.
Creature design.
So let's...
We got like two things to talk about.
Let's start with the Mega Nudelon.
Yeah.
You had issues. Why don't you talk about them?
They look weird. I don't know. It just looks weird to me.
You don't... They don't look creepy. They just look kind of weird.
They look weird. It's like a giant caterpillar thing.
They are. I mean, it's obviously like, I don't know if it's like two people in a suit or like one person in a suit and then like wires supporting the rest of it. But
it looks weird.
It does look kind of weird. But I think they kind of look creepy in their own way.
I thought they looked pretty cool.
They're weird.
I don't know, but the sound they make.
Like, it looked like a fly crossed with a caterpillar.
It's kind of what dragonfly larva are.
What dragonfly is.
I don't know what you were suspecting.
It looks weird bigger.
maybe you'll like Godzilla vs. Megaguirus' version of them a much better.
Yeah.
But that's a long ways down the road. But I don't know, they look pretty good. The sound they made reminded me a lot of the sound that the giant ants made in them. But I mean, it's kind of a creepy sound.
Yeah.
But moving on, Rodan himself.
Rodan looks good.
I love Rodan's design in this movie. The puppet that they use looks a little rough a couple sometimes, but
that's effects, Aaron.
The actual suit looks really good. I love like the like mobility that the suits have and like the flexibility of the wings, which is really cool in this movie, which is a big problem with later movies or how stiff the wings are. But in this movie, like they're really flexible and flapping around, and then.
He looks menacing.
Yeah. He looks pretty menacing, and it's like his head, which, again, later down the road looks really dopey in some of the Godzilla movies, looks really cool and kind of like reptilian-like in this movie. And he's got like an armor-plated chest almost. And
it's pretty sick.
But I really like the look of Rodan.
Rodan looks sick.
I like Rodan.
Rodan's my dad.
Rodan is not your father, Dylan. I do really like Rodan. I think this is one of the better creatures. And his roar. I love Rodan's roar in this movie. It is pretty epic. And then it will be reused.
Could you imitate that for me?
No, I can't. Well, it will be reused. It will be reused and like re-edited and reused in Ultraman shows like so many times. It's not even funny. Yes. But
yes.
I do love Rodan.
Rodan does look pretty cool.
So I guess moving on to
effects.
Effects. I think the effects in this movie are really good. The models in this movie look really, really good. They're some of the best model work we've seen. Especially when Rodan is like attacking Fukuoka and blowing stuff over with his supersonic winds. All that looks great. The bridge collapsing, the subway or the trains blowing over and the buildings collapsing. Some of the matting effects are kind of rough.
Yeah.
Some of the plane, like the scenes where Rodan is chasing the planes around.
The planes look like they took a person and then drew a plane around them.
Yeah.
On the camera.
The plane, yeah. It looks, and there's like one scene where there's just like a little white,
like the plane, roughly just like a
plane shaped thing they drew on the film and are just kind of moving across the film or something. Some of the aerial shots are really cool. Like the scenes where we are like, the camera is like kind of following Rodan through the air.
Almost like a POV shot out of the cockpit.
Yeah, it looks really cool. But yeah, the plane sequences are a little rough.
Only model I had problems with was one of the tanks, or it was like a car.
It was a car. I think it was the car that got flipped over.
The actual
crash looked really cool.
The crash looked good.
The little body getting thrown out of the car.
Like, this little bitty figure came popping about. I was like, ah,
yeah, that looked kind of rough. If they would have not done that, the crash looked really cool.
I was like, who needs to see that body come out of it?
What's the matter? Yeah, that looked, and some of the, like, earlier in the movie when the Mega Nudelon is like, they're chasing him up the mountain. And the two cops, it grabs the two cops or whatever, and it's like rolling down the mountain with them. The little, like the mannequins that are the dead guys are a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's...
Yeah.
I will say, this kind of... I mean, this is a DVD, but the high-def DVD transfer, like, the wires on this are super visible. Because a lot of the movie takes place... The Fukuoka scene especially takes place in, like, super bright daylight.
And you're like, okay. Yeah.
And the wires, like, are so visible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't even look like they were trying to hide them. And, like, when they're hooked... The ones hooked to Rodan's wings, especially. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but... I don't know. I mean, I think the effects, though, overall are
Good. Decent.
I think they're pretty good. Decent. Especially for... You gotta remember, this is 1956, so only 2 years after the original... The original Godzilla movie, so
you
think...
You heard what I said.
I heard you're decent.
They're decent.
They're pretty good.
You heard what I said. They're decent.
They're decent. What about the score by Ifukube?
It's not his best...
It's not his best.
Out of the ones that we've heard.
Out of the ones we've heard. And it's a lot more subdued compared to his usual, like, bombastic scores. A lot of that is because of the sound mixing on this movie. The score is, like, except for just a couple of scenes, is almost always, like, pretty faint in the background compared to everything else that's going on. Usually in these movies, the score is just, like, you know, really loud and up front. But they've really dialed it back for this movie.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And Rodan's like...
It's not as in your face, but yeah. We're also not hearing... Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, and even Rodan's like the main theme is just kind of like this low... Dun, 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 dun. It's like not super loud and high-pitched horns just blaring all the time. Which will be like re-edited. Rodan's theme will be re-edited and like made way more bombastic in the Godzilla movies.
So. How did that one go?
Bum 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 bum. So yeah,
could I get that one more time, please?
No. But I think it's still good here. I mean, it's still way better than what we probably would have gotten with anybody else. But it is. It's not quite as enjoyable as I think.
No.
Like his other.
Still not bad though.
Score, but it's definitely not bad. I still think it's pretty good. So, and I love the. I forgot to mention, but I do love the color palette. This movie is really bright. Again,
it is bright. It's colorful.
Yeah.
I mean,
going to look really good on Blu-ray when you get it here in a couple months.
Rodan is not going to be on that Blu-ray.
Oh, that's right. Dang it.
I said that it's bright. The first half of the movie is actually really darkly lit because it's like a lot of it takes place in the mine shaft.
You're telling me literally it's freaking black.
Some of it's a little too dark in the mine shaft.
You can't see Jack squat half.
And then a lot of it takes place at night when the Mega Nulon are attacking, but... Once Rodan shows up, a lot of this movie takes place in the bright daylight. Part of that drastic tone shift I was talking about.
They should have put this in there, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they will release a Blu-ray version of Rodan eventually.
Yeah, Greek steelbook version.
I mean, yeah, I would buy it.
We watched the one that comes in the, I forgot, classic media edition that comes in the double disc with the War of the Gargantuas, which is a movie we'll be also watching not too long from now. Why are you shaking your head for? You don't want to watch it?
That looks dumb.
It's actually a fan favorite.
They look like two freaking...
The first show...
They look like Bigfoots fighting each other.
They are actually...
In this...
They're Bigfoots.
Clones of Frankenstein, but we'll get there.
They're Bigfoots.
We'll get there. That's for another conversation.
They're Bigfoots.
But anything else y'all wanted to add about this movie before we go into final thoughts?
I mean, it's decent.
It's a decent movie.
I forgot... Totally skipped talking about the story. There's the bombing sequence at the end of this movie. I guess this could kind of go with effects too. It looks pretty good, but it goes on for, I clocked it, 4 minutes of just them shooting rockets at the mountainside.
And it's like the same shots.
And it's like the same, I think it's the same 3 or 4 shots, just taking it from different angles.
Boom, sometimes it's the same boom. Thing.
Sometimes it's just the same shot repeated. I think they were trying to pad out the running time and get to 80 minutes.
Guys,
you know?
you got to get it to 80 minutes. Like, what if we just didn't? They're like, no, you don't understand. It's 80 minutes.
And they got to the end of the movie and were like, okay, we got to stretch out something here to get this to 80. It's actually 82 minutes, so they got a couple minutes past their mark. But yeah, 4 minutes of them just shooting rockets at the mountainside. And then it's really sad at the end when the first, I guess they kind of fall in because I guess the volcanic ash is like choking them or something. But the first one falls in, and then the other one kind of like
the first one, and then it falls in and it catches fire.
And the other one, I kind of get the impression that the other one kind of goes down to try to help it, and then it also catches fire.
Also catches fire.
There's some moving music behind it. It is really sad.
You're like, oh, poor Rodan.
You know, wrote he thinks they're both dead, but actually one of them's still alive. So
probably the second one.
Probably the second one. I'm gonna assume because
that first one was like that first one was pretty fried,
pretty crispy.
Because the first one, or the last one that fell down, he was still moving at the end of the movie, still twitching under the fire. So you know,
that first one was pretty crispy. Not gonna lie,
he was just severely burnt.
Yeah, but
he's a little.
I really like this movie, but let's get into some final thoughts. Andrew, you get to start as always.
Well, I thought this movie was a pretty good movie.
All right.
I'm happy for you.
The effects was some better effects than some of the movies we've watched so far. The models were pretty cool. I thought they were some of the best models we've seen in the monster movie so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give this a B+.
B+.
Well, he gave it a B+.
All right. Dylan, you want to go next?
Sure.
All right.
So this movie is decent. I think it's definitely not the best we've watched so far. Mm-hmm. Definitely not the worst. Mm. The story is decent. I think that the first half does a pretty good job with it, what it is trying to accomplish. And it sets up some pretty decent human characters that, as I've already said, get kind of thrown away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Aaron also said. But I think it definitely gets more interesting once the your quote-unquote tone shift and also shift in color palette completely. Yeah. Like a completely different movie almost. I think it gets more interesting once Rodan finally shows up. And from there on out, it's pretty entertaining, I think, to me. I actually really enjoyed the second half of the movie, especially the whole destruction sequence is pretty sick. But other than that, the effects are decent. There are a couple things that I can't forgive, such as the plane thing where it looks like literally a penciled-on plane, and then the little bitty white plane streaking through the sky that just looks like a blob on the camera lens, and then that one model with the little man flying out of it just destroys that whole scene for me. I'm like, oh, you freaking went and did it. But other than that, I think the effects are decent. Score's all right. I don't really care for the Mega New line a whole lot. I think they look kind of dumb.
Okay, that's your opinion.
But Rodan looks sick.
Rodan looks really cool.
Rodan's like my dad. No, not really. Godzilla's my father. But, I mean, overall, it's a decent movie. I'll give it B-.
B-? All right. You know, I agree with what both of you said. I like the effects quite a bit in this movie. Some of the matting and some of the models are a little rough around the edges. And some of the, especially in the sequences where Rodan and the jet planes are chasing each other around, gets a little rough. But I love the look of Rodan. Rodan is one of my favorite design monsters. And I think he looks as good here as he ever looks, including the King of the Monsters movie. But I really love the, I like the horror movie type feel of the first half. And I also like the more typical giant monster smackdown that is the second half. I do kind of wish that the tone shift was a little less drastic maybe, but and then, you know, I forgot to talk about this while we were talking about effects, but you know, there are a lot of scenes where they have like these matte paintings kind of melded with actual scenery, and they, I mean, they're obviously matte paintings, but they're actually melded with the actual sets or actual locations pretty well. Like, I couldn't see like a hard line where it went from like real set to matte painting, which is pretty impressive. So I do like the effects. Score, like I said, I think we've both talked about, not Ifukube's best, but still pretty good. I still enjoy it quite a bit. But I know this movie is a fan favorite, so I mean, it's hard to be mean to it. And I don't think there is a lot of reason to be mean to it, but there is some pacing issues, some tonal issues, and a few kind of like, ooh, I wish they wouldn't have done that as far as effects go. I'm gonna come down in the middle and give it a B. I think it's a good B movie. Can't get it. Sorry. But
B.
I guess that takes us to news. From the creators of...
Nobody cares!
From the creators of...
Nobody cares! Sorry.
From the
Nobody cares!
From the creators of Shin Godzilla comes a new Ultraman movie. No, but this is really exciting. I mean, we'll talk about Shin Godzilla when we finally get there. No. But, you know, whether you love or hate that movie, it is a very interesting take on Godzilla. Hideaki Anno, how do you say his name? And Shinji Higuchi are set to make a new Ultraman movie. They were the co-directors on Shin Godzilla. Hideaki Anno is also the creator of Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Who is?
Hideaki Anno.
He created Evangelion?
Yeah, he created Evangelion.
cool.
He's still working on Evangelion. He still does those CG retelling movies that they are still coming out with. And after he comes out with finishes making the last one of those, he's going to start work on this movie. Hideaki Anno will produce and write the movie, and Shinji Higuchi, who was also, before he was the co-director on Shin Godzilla, he is, I think, most known for to the fans as the special effects director on the 90s Gamera trilogy.
Did you say those are good?
Those are great. Those are beyond good.
Great?
Yeah, I love those movies so much.
So they're Fs.
No, these are A++.
B minus.
Shut up. Anyway, so he will direct it. And it is, right now, Toho's saying a release date of 2021. From what I've read, going to be basically a retelling of the original Ultraman series.
Like Ultraman. Ultraman.
Yeah, Ultraman.
The OG.
So, hopefully, when this movie is made, Funimation will do like they did with Shin Godzilla and do a limited theatrical run in America, which means I'll probably have to drive somewhere to go watch it, but best darn believe that I will. And Dylan's going to go with me whether he likes it or not.
Do I have to?
No. Yes. I saw some of the cast. I forgot what the cast members' names were. One of the women cast in it is one of the girls who played one of the twin fairies in Godzilla Tokyo SOS and Godzilla Final Wars, so that's an interesting casting choice. So, I don't know, but I'm excited. You know, me and Andrew, we're still going through Ultraman. Right now, we're in a bit of a rough patch. We're watching The Ultraman, which is the animated series
I think it's pretty good.
I think it came out like 78 or 79 or something, or 79 or something like that. Uh-huh. It's not terrible. It's a bit crude, though. But, I mean, it's kind of interesting, but yeah, that's what we're working through right now. So, and then comes Ultraman 80, and I don't know what's beyond that.
And then like 74 others.
Yes.
Exactly.
We're going to have to force Dylan to sit down and watch at least the original Ultraman. There's only like 37 episodes.
Only.
It's not that long. But yeah, I'm excited.
Is that one in color?
Yes, it is. The only one in black and white is Ultra Q.
What's the best?
Aren't you getting
Ultra 7 is the best.
Ultraman on Blu-ray?
Steelbook.
Yeah, we talked about that here.
Did you order it?
Collapse goes. I pre-ordered those, yes.
The Ultraman and Ultra Q?
Ultraman and Ultra Q Steelbooks, yes.
What were they? How much were those?
They were about,
more
I think,
than you should have paid.
$49 a piece.
More than you should have paid.
Yes.
You pay a lot of money.
The actual blue, but they have discounted the non-steelbook, just the Blu-ray editions they're coming out with quite a bit. They're like down to like, I don't know, like $25 or something. So, you get those pretty cheap, but I'm a real man. I'm getting the Steelbook editions.
And you're spending $140-something.
$179.6 or something like that.
You're spending a lot of money on Ultraman.
And you're like basically $300 on 15 Godzilla movies and 2 Ultraman series.
Yes.
It
is worth it.
No, it's not.
But anyway.
The Godzilla movies? Sure.
You can't talk trash about Ultraman if you haven't watched Ultraman, okay?
It's terrible.
You haven't even watched
an episode
of it.
I have watched a partial episode.
Okay,
not
yeah.
Even Ultraman.
You need to sit down and watch some Ultraman.
You watched Ultraman.
If this movie actually comes to fruition and we're still doing this podcast, we're going to have to sit down and just watch a few episodes of the original so you kind of know what the basic gist of Ultraman is.
Okay.
Okay. But that's a couple of years from now, so you got a while to prep yourself for it.
By the time we get there, I'll probably be like, yes!
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 Ultraman!
You might get hooked on it, and you'd be like...
By the time we get there, I'll have watched so many monster movies, I'll be like, this is nothing. Let's watch them all!
Watch them all? Gotta watch them all?
Gotta catch them all?
What is... What is...
Speaking of Pokemon... Detective Pikachu comes out on home physical release on this upcoming Tuesday.
Oh, that's exciting.
Will you be purchasing that one?
I might get around to purchasing it. I liked it.
I mean, it is one of your favorite movies of the year.
It is still my second favorite movie of the year, behind Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Please go check it out. But anyway, if you haven't seen Detective Pikachu... only semi-related to this podcast, but I suggest when it comes out on DVD, you maybe just rent it or whatever, but check it out. It's not a bad movie.
It's not a great movie.
Especially if you have any liking
It's entertaining, Pokemon. But the story's kind of stupid.
I mean, yeah, but that's any Hollywood blockbuster for you, so. It's a lot smarter than King of the Monsters. Sorry. Sorry, guys.
Shut your mouth.
Anyway.
Anyways.
I think that's
what do we got coming up next week?
Next week is Ghidra, the three-headed monster. Yep. And then after that is our big theatrical event, going to the theaters to watch...
The new Rift Tracks.
The new Rift Tracks. Giant Spider Invasion.
Oh, wow.
That'll be an experience.
And that will be an experience, but it'll be fun.
Will it?
It'll be fun. We'll try to watch it on August 15th if we can align our schedules.
Sick.
So, yep, that's our plans.
The last one we watched was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. So that's our plans for the next couple of weeks, and then after that will be Invasion of Astro Monster, of course. Of course.
Of course. If you are interested, we do have a second podcast, which will be going on a brief hiatus. We will have at least 1 to 2 episodes, I'm guessing, a month, probably. For sure, 1 episode, which will be our Star Wars episode, but...
It is called DNA Film Wars. We are currently working on publishing a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood episode. It's coming along.
It'll be out eventually.
This weekend, we probably are going to review Hobbs and Shaw. Or, I'm sorry, Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. I just survived 8 Fast and Furious movies.
Did you?
Not really. My soul took a big hit. The not going to lie.
You can't tell me that 5 and 7 weren't pretty decent.
5 and 7 and even 8 were decent action movies.
8 was pretty.
I didn't mind 8. I thought 8 was about as good as Fast 5 and Fast 7.
No.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Right.
I'd rather watch Fast 6 than Fast 8.
Oh, God, no. I hated Fast 6. That was the dumbest movie ever.
I always would have watched Fast 8 way more times than Fast 6.
No way.
Anyway, we're getting way off topic here. DNA Film Wars, you can find it on any of your... podcatching services. You can contact us at dnafilmwars@gmail.com.
Yep.
What about this podcast?
You can find it also on any major podcatching service, specifically if you want to. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. If you want to contact us, you can contact us at stumpthisway1954@gmail.com, as well as if you want to follow us on any of our social medias. We're up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at stumpthisway on all those platforms. Andrew, why don't you go and tell us where they can find us on our website?
You can find us at www.stompthisway.podbean.com.
Yep, you can see our full schedule of events there coming up.
Maybe.
Also, our backlog of episodes, what we've rated each episode or each movie that we've done. Lots of cool stuff there.
Weekly news, as much as Aaron can.
As much as I can. I'm pretty caught up right now. I need to post an article about Shin Ultraman, as it's being called. But anyway, so yeah. Don't forget to join us next week for Ghidra, the three-headed monster. Thank you for listening. As always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Dylan, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you.